Dear Father God, we thank you so much for a wonderful morning. Thank you so much for letting the rain miss us. We're going to have an awesome day racing today. It's going to be a beautiful day. We just ask you to protect everybody, watch over everybody here. Let us all have a good time. Lord, let's do it for your glory. And we just thank you now. And Father, I ask that you minister to us right now and just let us hear from your word. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking the last couple of races, about the armor of God. We need the armor of God to succeed. And we're always talking about it. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus to help us. Well, that's an awesome thing. I'm glad that he made a way to where we can have help and where we can succeed in our walk without having to worry about failure, because he's got us. We might mess up, but he's got us. So I want to read out of Acts, and this is right before the ascension. The apostles are asking them, hey, when are you going to establish your kingdom like you talked about? Because we all know at some point Jesus is going to rule all of this. He's going to rule the heavens and the earth. And they're like, when's this going to happen? So Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set, but by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he's saying, I ain't taking over right now. In other words, the end of the world is not here. I'm not taking over right now. But there's going to come a time when I will. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he's saying, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to empower you. So let's read a little bit more. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And a lot of people were there at that time, out in the streets and everything, because they were celebrating one of the feasts. I think it was called the Feast of Weeks, which happened 50 days after the Passover. So there's a lot of people there at this time. And the apostles were in a room together. So that's kind of to set it up. So it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, the Holy Spirit obviously didn't have to announce itself, but God wanted to make a point. So he sent the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if that happened? Here's all of a sudden fire coming from heaven, these little flames come down on your head. That'd be kind of freaky. And then they were able to speak in other languages. That's even weirder yet, because there's people from all over the area there with different languages, and all of a sudden they can talk in their languages. I wonder if they even knew that they were doing it. It's like, that'd be like God, make them talk in other languages. They don't even know it. But, so people were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, what does this mean? And then, of course, you got the naysayers. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. They're drunk. They don't know what they're doing. But Peter says, no, they ain't drunk. Heck, this is early in the morning. They're not drunk yet. Most people get drunk in the afternoon. Only the hardcore get drunk in the morning. No, that's my version. But they're not drunk. This was prophesied that this was going to happen. So in Acts 2, verses 16 and 18, it says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, which would be us, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So God says, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to everybody. That's what I'm going to do. That's what's going to empower everybody. And so why did he do that? Well, I think there's more than one reason why he did it. One, he did it at that time to empower his apostles to where they could minister and talk to people. The Holy Spirit is strong enough to take away fear. There's a lot of things that can happen. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent it to strengthen them. He sent the Holy Spirit to help them. But the awesome part, what applies to them also applies to us. We can receive the same Holy Spirit. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. So we get that strength. And how do I know that? Well, first thing I want to mention is the Holy Spirit is God. God's made up of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I know for us it's really hard to put a handle on. How is this possible? How can three people be one God? I don't know, but that's what the Bible teaches. And the best way that I've had it put to me, think of a corporation. You got three people running it, but there is no disagreement whatsoever amongst any of them, and they're 100% the same on everything. That would be about the best explanation that I could put on it. So where did the Holy Spirit come from then? Did all of a sudden it just show up? Well, in Romans 8:28, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we are. Oh, heck, I got myself mixed up here. Sorry, guys. Go to the right verse. There we go. Genesis 1:1-2. That's where I'm supposed to be. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So at the very beginning, the Spirit of God was there. So the Holy Spirit has been there just like forever. And God decided that he should send it to us. So let's read John 16:7. What else does it say about it? It says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, I could stay here. But if I leave, then the Holy Spirit will come, like it did to them. And when that Holy Spirit comes, that's when you're going to receive help. You go on, you read another verse there in John 14:15-17. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him, because they don't believe in him, because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Right? You got to recognize him in order to receive him. You got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So there's the promise again that the Holy Spirit will be in them, including us. So let's read Romans 8:26. A lot of reading this morning, but the Bible says this stuff so much better than I do. So a lot of times I like to just read the scriptures. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He is always there for us. Isn't it awesome? When you get to the point where you don't know what you're talking about or what you want to tell God, I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit actually intercedes for us. That is awesome. We've got an advocate, as Jesus called him, that is there running interference for us. I think it is totally awesome that God promises that if we believe in him, and we follow him, that he will give us strength. Well, here's the strength that he's going to give us. So, What's the whole point? I mean, he's always there for us. That's the whole point. He is always there. And the final verse, or two verses that I want to read, it says, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. Just Jesus still talking to the disciples. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Well, in the same way that the Holy Spirit taught them, the Holy Spirit today teaches us. So when you're reading the Bible, you got to read it with an open mind. And you got to say, God, have your Holy Spirit introduce it to me. Have your Holy Spirit tell me what this means. And there's times you'll read a scripture that doesn't totally make sense, and you're thinking on it, and you're praying on it, and it still doesn't make sense. Move on to the next one. Maybe that one you'll understand the next time through. But as you read the Word, know that you have the power of God, and that if you pray to God, that He'll help you interpret. Because the same thing, like I said, that applies to the disciples applies to us. Now, when I was saved, no flame came down on my head. Actually, I got up the next morning, and I was sitting there going, did anything really happen? I don't know. That's how I got up. I'm not an emotional type person, so I didn't really feel nothing. Now, Cece, my wife, when she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, it was like somebody came up behind her and just wrapped his arms around her. And it was almost like a physical presence that she felt. Like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Because I'd have felt that, but I didn't. But then as the days went on, things started changing. All of a sudden, I started cussing less. Beer didn't taste good anymore, which I'm not anti-beer, but I'm anti-12-pack a day. That kind of really didn't need to happen. And God just took that away from me. I didn't have the desire to drink like that anymore. And just things in my life started changing. Well, those changes were being made by the Holy Spirit. Because God sent the Holy Spirit to live within me when I received Jesus as my Savior. And that's what makes this life possible. I mean, that's what makes it possible for me to do the things that God wants to do. And that's the whole point of this message this morning. Now, you can't live right without Jesus. Jesus paid the price. He died on the cross for us to pay for our sins. And because of that, we get to go to heaven. Not because we're good. I'm not a good person. I make mistakes every day. And there's a lot of things I do wrong. And thank God Jesus paid the price, so I'm good. But then He sent the Holy Spirit to help me in my walk, that all I got to do is say, Jesus, I need help. And I know I have that power within me to live a better life and to do better. But if I mess up, I don't have to God, you do not like me no more. No, God loves us no matter what. Because of the price that Jesus paid. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise and worship you. We thank you so much that Jesus paid the price on the cross for the sins that we commit, to where we don't have to pay the price. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to live within us, to help us in our walk, to where we can walk the way you intend for us to walk. And when we mess up, we know Jesus got it covered. Thank you, Lord. As we get ready to race, we just ask that you'd be with us this morning and just let us have a good time. As I said earlier, keep us all safe on and off the track, coming and going. In Jesus' name, amen.